Baseball is such a fun sport, man. I had gotten away from baseball for a long time. I loved it growing up. Obviously, played growing up. I advise every parent that has kids to let them play at least T-ball, just for the structure and just for being around other kids. And baseball's, you know, that first sport that you can really play. And obviously, I played T-ball, played Little League, and then stopped right around like Pony-ish League. And, you know, going into middle school, didn't play. And I still followed it a little bit, but, you know, football took over my life. I mean, it was.
Yeah, you played in the NFL, right?
Yeah, it was a huge part of my life, and I fell out of love with baseball, and I had no interest. And then, you know, throughout that time, I didn't watch the Pirates that much. Like, you know, I did go to the 2013 wild card game, but I just went there for the atmosphere, really. I wasn't really even paying attention. But now that I have three young boys and, you know, they're really into baseball. They love baseball. I appreciate that so much that they've brought that love back out in me of baseball. Like, I won't miss a game. I won't miss a Pirate game. I know that I have to watch it for my job for this, but, I mean, I'll watch other baseball games now and just sit there and watch a Yankees game. I'll watch a Red Sox game. I'll watch a Dodgers game now. And, like, it really is fantastic, and I can see why that people love it so much, because I have fallen back in love, and it has a lot to do with my children playing the sport and loving it as well. So and Mitch Keller loves it, and he got paid last year $77 million. He gave up six hits last night, four runs, and he had six strikeouts, but he's been fantastic all year, probably going to be an all-star again. And that's kind of where we're at, right, Callis? Like, we're sitting here. You saw the Pirates score runs yesterday. You saw Tellez get hits. You saw Tellez steal a goddamn base. Like, you know, there was a stat, I think Hannah might have put it out there. Somebody put it out there, Hannah Mears, that every game that Tellez has stolen a base in, his team has won. I think he stole a base in, like, 2017 with the Blue Jays. He stole two bases with another team he was with. And he stole a base last night, and then the rate goes to that team usually winning that he's on if he does steal a base. So you got an array of things. You saw O'Neal Cruz steal home. Or would you count that as a steal? Did you see that?
Wasn't it the first and third play?
Yes, the first and third.
Yeah, it counts in the book.
That would count as a steal?
Yeah.
Because he kind of kept just like going, and he was like kind of shuffling, and he was like, oh, you're going to lob it in to the infield?
Oh, that's, I'm just going to go home. Yeah.
Okay, all right. But you saw that, and we were talking yesterday, like, oh, no, Cruz, he hasn't even stolen any bases this year. He's stolen a couple. So he does that. I mean, you just saw a gamut of things with the Pirates, but it really comes down to the pitching, and they have kept them afloat. With Jared Jones and the way he started this year, his last outing, he threw eight strikeouts. Skeens, obviously, we've talked about him at nauseam, but it's fun to talk about because he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, and he is just unbelievable. But Mitch Keller has been fantastic as well. He has been so good, and, you know, yesterday they get the win, you know, gave up some runs, but that's going to happen. It's baseball. You're playing against other professionals. I get it. But will their pitching, the three-headed monster, allow them to make the appropriate moves before the deadline? It's one thing for Nutting to talk about it the other day. It's one thing to put pressure on Shelton if you're Nutting and saying what he said to the media and putting pressure on Charrington. But will they make the right necessary moves to enhance this team to give them an opportunity? And you were talking on the early morning show about how you did a little deep dive on Charrington and some of the moves he made whenever he was the GM of the Red Sox.
So he started real well because, you know, before him, they were acquiring all these big names because they had a lot of big promise. The Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, those big acquisitions by them. And they didn't make the playoffs in 2011 or 2012. So in 2012, when they found out they weren't going to make it, Charrington was the GM at that time, and he shipped those guys off to Los Angeles to play for the Dodgers, and he kind of started over. He was developing guys like Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts, but they ended up winning the World Series in 2013 with a few young guys mixed with a lot of veterans. And then after that, he signed Hanley Ramirez, and I talked about this last week, but it was just one of the – it was one of the big moves that he was critiqued for because he signed him, and he played shortstop all of his life in the majors. They had him play left field because they already had Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. That didn't work out very well, so he ended up becoming a pretty mediocre first baseman DH for them. He was released in 2016, so just 2 years after his contract was signed. And then Pablo Sandoval was the other big one. Sandoval won the World Series with the Giants the previous year in 2014. They signed him in 15 for a giant contract, and it was later found out that Sandoval is only really good in the playoffs and when he's playing for the Giants. If not, you know, I mean, he was out of shape. You know, he was getting hurt too, and it was just a very bad contract. So I was kind of talking about just thinking, like, is Cherington learning from that, where you don't just want to chase the shiny object just because? You don't want to chase those guys who look like they might be good and overpay them, or acquire guys who, you know, just have the big name but don't bring the production with it. Is that really going to help your team? Maybe he's learning from that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then we kind of, you know, focus on that one player that everybody's talking about is Luis Robert Jr. And, you know, he hasn't been batting over – he didn't hit over 200 this year as a batting average this season. But he is a guy that has pop. Like, are you willing to sell prospects to infuse a guy in the lineup who hasn't even been playing that good this year? Like, I think Crowley's like, I'd be okay with just, you know, just slight upgrades at certain positions. Now, one thing that I did see, Callis, out there yesterday from The Athletic – was a potential proposal for the Marlins of the Pirates, and that was to get Josh Bell back and Brian De La Cruz, who is a left fielder and DH. I think that a move like that would definitely benefit them. You're familiar with one guy, and a guy that, you know, had a good year, what, about 5 years ago with the Pirates, and he can put him out. I think that's the move that I think the Pirates are going to be in. I think that's the area that the Pirates are going to be looking in. I don't think they're going to go with, hey, we're going to give away 2 to 3 prospects for one guy.
Well, Crowley brought up a great question, too, because I initially thought that Luis Robert Jr. would be a good acquisition because, well, he could, you know, he could hit in Pittsburgh, sure. You know, maybe he'll be more motivated to play for a team that is in a playoff race right now. And then he said, or you said, or a combination of you guys said, well, how's he going to hit in Pittsburgh if nobody else here could really hit right now either?
You're right.
And so then I asked that same question, and I've been asking myself that same question with every other player I've thought of now that they could acquire. I think Vladdy Jr. could do it. I don't know about Ryan McMahon anymore, and I certainly don't know about Josh Bell because he's already been struggling in his own right in Miami, although the league average is down too, so I don't know what to think.
The league average is down, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. We're going to ask kind of, you know, Whaley, who has just been watching baseball, and he has that GM mentality, and that kind of is universal in all sports. We'll ask him about that, the league average, later. But,
look,
I mean,
I just don't know if you even acquire these guys, are they going to hit any better here? Because it just seems like there's just an offensive downturn right now with...
There is across the league, but if you want one situation where that should be a question mark is Michael A. Taylor. Didn't he have 21 home runs last year? He can't even bunt.
That was an outlier, though. He was always a defensive guy, and I think last season was an outlier for him.
Then he had the error. Well, it wasn't an error. It was a triple, but he hit off his glove last night, and he's supposed to be one of the best defensive center. Like, he's been awful.
Yeah, I can't really argue against that.
So, how are you going to think a guy that even is hot or isn't hot right now is going to find it here? Or is he going to go backwards if he is hot right now and you sign him and you trade for him? Like, how can you not think that they aren't going to go backwards as every single, basically, acquisition has gone backwards? Now, Telez has found it a little bit, but I mean,
he's not hitting home runs like you expected him to, though, and that's why you signed him. And I think you're losing that production. Not that I'm gonna just keep beating him down for getting
right.
hits.
Right, he's done better.
You need somebody with some power who can give you consistent power. And Reynolds has become that, but you need one more.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of where – and then everybody, you know, not many sellers this year because everybody's somewhat in it. So, it's going to be tricky, and this is what, you know, you get paid for. You get paid a lot of money to be a GM for is to, you know, you got to put on your negotiation hat. You got to sell – not sell your team, but sell what you are selling, if that makes sense. Like, you have to manipulate. You have to persuade. You got to have all those characteristics as a GM right now if you're Ben Cherington to get what you want. And that's what Omar Khan has done for the past 2 years, and that's why he's done a fantastic job. But you really have to be working right now. And I'm not telling you all that are listening anything that you don't know, but it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch.